Anyway, it's 11:13. I'm Kino with you until 12. And yeah, we're just having chats in general, right? And Bonamohal has gone AWOL. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the security agencies blocking his phone. Who'd be surprised? But we are going to then move on and chat to mybroadband.co.za. MTI Bigwigs hit with a 2.5 million rand claim. Jan Vermeulen will be telling you more about that. There's also something on the sort of fiber war in South Africa. Big price cuts and definitely higher speeds. Cell C's got a new prepaid fixed LTE tested in a smartphone. And so we're going to be asking Jan more about those results. So yeah, we thought, well, if we're not going to be talking to the chairman of Bidvest, we'll maybe get him on tomorrow, and let's rather just talk Jan Vermeulen about what My Broadband has been covering. So that will be coming up. So apologies for all that confusion. But remember, throughout the show, if there's something you want to talk about, all you have to do is pick up the phone and dial 021-446-0567 and WhatsApp at 072-567-1567. Jan Vermeulen, thank you very much, sir. Jan Vermeulen, editor-at-large at mybroadband.co.za.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, Jan, tell us a little bit, my friend, about this breaking story. You guys have just put it up, about 2 hours ago.
Yes, yeah. So this is our latest story. Basically, summons have been issued in the case of BTC Global. I don't know how many people remember this story, but it was a Bitcoin investment scam that cost a lot of people, including a lot of South Africans, a lot of money. There was this master trader called Stephen Twain, which nobody knows if he really existed. And he was making everybody piles and piles of money. I think they promised 14% a week or something like that. And then early in 2018, just after the cryptocurrency crash, he disappeared and BTC Global collapsed. And some of the same people who were involved in Mirror Trading International were involved in BTC Global. And two of those people are in this summons, Clinton Marks and Sherry Marks. And the third person, Andrew Corr, was allegedly also involved in BTC Global, and there's a summons for him as well. This is a civil matter. So 18 plaintiffs, 18 people, have lodged separate claims against these three, totaling 2.5 million rand. That's their initial investment, but they're also claiming 7% interest per annum on the money owing to them. And they are asking the court for, you know, basically whatever other relief the court might feel is appropriate. And then also asking, obviously, for costs. So, yeah, this is the first really big legal action we've seen. I mean, MTI is currently in provisional liquidation, and that whole liquidation thing is ongoing. But this is the first real solid legal action we've seen in amongst these hordes of cryptocurrency related scams that have plagued South Africa in recent times. So we didn't get we contacted the Marxes and Corr for comment. They didn't comment to me on this particular story, but I've spoken to them in the past before, and they pleaded innocence. They said that they were just investors in BTC Global. They were hurt just like everybody else. So I'm curious to see what these plaintiffs are going to be presenting before the court to convince the court that in fact these three were involved in BTC Global and profited from, you know, basically stealing their money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, I want to contextualize this properly. The Hawks were said to be investigating BTC Global back in 2018, and nothing has happened. Nothing. Literally no progress. And there's some criticism out there that, you know, if the Hawks had acted, then MTI might never have been able to gain the foothold in the route that it did, because a lot of the same people are involved. And so, it's encouraging to see some legal action, though it is disappointing that legal action is civil rather than criminal action being taken against the perpetrators, whoever they may be.
Indeed. I mean, listen, the quickest way of getting anything out of it is civil, because it's a balance of probabilities. Criminal is obviously more difficult. The onus of proof beyond any reasonable doubt.
Right. And I know that's probably the legal advice that folks involved here have been given. And that, like, that's why you're seeing 18 people clubbed together. Because it, even for a claim of 2.5 million rand, you're starting to stretch the viability of a legal case, because a high court matter is going to cost you upwards of 500,000, right? Mm. And you'll get some of it back in costs, but not all, you know, in costs awards if you win, but not all. And so, you know, going to the high court for a civil matter for as low an amount that I'm waving my fingers in inverted commas here as 2.5 million rand is almost not worth it. And I expect that the legal advice these folks have been given is that a civil matter might pave the way to a criminal one. So if the judge rules in your favor in a civil matter, then that might open the door for criminal prosecution.
Well, 11:19, that is your time. You're listening to the editor-at-large at mybroadband.co.za, Jan Vermeulen. Now, Jan, I see some of the other stories that you guys have covered here. I mean, there's some really interesting ones.
Sure. And I want to talk about prepaid data prices. They've come down in the past week.
Yeah, and I see Cell C's been pretty good at this as well, haven't they?
Yeah, so they've launched some really interesting deals, and we took their new prepaid fixed LTE thing for a spin. It was actually quite cool. You know, while what's interesting about what's happening in the prepaid space right now is, like, I've sat down and I'm trying to do pricing comparisons, and it's actually surprisingly difficult. And I'll touch on that in a little while. But yeah, we took this home connector Flexi for a spin. We got a median download speed of just under 33 megabits per second, upload speed of 6.4 megabits per second, and latency of as low of average latency, median latency of 21 milliseconds.
Wow.
So it performs really, really well where we tested it. Now, obviously, you know, it's going to be different depending on your location. So you know, do be careful of that. But it's really, really cool to see this package perform as well as it does, with the prices ranging from 59 Rand for 10 gigabytes, 5 gig anytime, 5 gig nighttime data, to 899 Rand for a terabyte of anytime data. Mm. I mean, it's really, really competitive pricing.
The other providers are struggling to keep up with the Cell C by the looks of it. And there's also, I mean, I've looked at some of the stuff that they've done, and I spoke to Elena about it yesterday. They seem to be also telling people that there's an alternative to, what's it called, contracts.
Right. So they are differentiating themselves by sort of focusing on alternatives to contracts, on really compelling prepaid pricing. As I said, what unfortunately is happening is that, you know, if you compare Cell C's, like if you go buy a prepaid SIM now, and you compare Cell C's headline prepaid tariffs with the headline prepaid tariffs of Vodacom, Telkom, MTN, then they don't look so good. But if you look at their alternative tariff plans, then they come out great. And so as a consumer, you just have to be a little bit savvy about, you know, choosing the correct tariff plan, choosing the correct package, and you can get really, really good pricing through Cell C. Now, I've tried to account for that in our pricing comparisons, but it is difficult because a lot of the time the amount of data doesn't match up. And so it almost feels like the mobile network operators are purposefully making it difficult to do pricing comparisons. Yeah. But at least we can say that, you know, Cell C is not resting on its laurels. I was worried because we haven't seen much pricing competitiveness from them for a while. And then, you know, in the last couple of months, they've just brought the fire. They've done really well. to bring pricing competition to the market.
Well, I mean, their business is now no longer about it. Remember that chat we had, was it Zaf Muhammad, right? It's no longer a telco. A lot of their strategy, I would imagine, is now based on data and data pricing, and potentially now outmaneuvering everybody on that one. But we'll see. We'll see how that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it pans out, because the driving prices lower didn't work well for Cell C under Alan Knott Craig, and so your trick is you need to win loyal customers over, and that kind of churn takes a while. Like you might find some people that are just looking for arbitrage. But there are people who are stuck in contracts right now, and they're stuck in contracts for up to 3 years. And so getting them to switch over to you, you might be able to cannibalize some rain customers if your pricing is good enough and people are frustrated with rain's network quality. But trying to get customers to switch over from MTN or Vodacom is a long game, and so you mustn't slash your prices to the point where you've got no runway. Your runway needs to be at least 3 to 5 years long. Otherwise, you're going to run yourself into trouble.
Well, I mean, then if your capital expenditure, for example, to put up extra towers and play catch up at the bigger telcos, is rested, and you have some of that capital available, then becomes the fodder that you can use to, I would imagine, feed your strategy.
And I remember, back in the ADSL days, when AfriHost was embarking on a campaign to slash ADSL pricing to give people an idea. Up to that point, now I'm going to give away a little bit of my age, but I'm also going to hopefully not sound like my grandpa when I'm talking about walking to school uphill both directions in the snow, barefoot and all that. But like back in my day, we used to pay 60 rand per gig of data, on ADSL. Now it's, some mobile data providers are actually still more expensive than that. Yeah. But on fixed line, on ADSL, that was the price for data, 60 rand a gig, and it's only valid for a month. You don't use it, you lose it. Then AfriHost comes out and they slash that price to 29 rand a month. So they halve it, right? And immediately the other ISPs in the market are going, how did you do that? That's impossible. It's unsustainable. It's below cost. Yeah. Everybody knows what the cost prices are because the only wholesale game in town was Telkom. So everybody has to go to Telkom for the wholesale price. So everybody knows that 29 Rand is below cost. And how AfriHost swung this is they just slashed their marketing budget. So all of the money that they would have been spending in marketing, they instead spent on shoring up, on subsidizing its data prices. And it's not dumb, because it knew, it was expecting that there would be wholesale price cuts in the near future that would inevitably make its business model sustainable, right? And so if Cell C is doing the same kind of thing here, as long as it doesn't run itself into more sustainability issues, which I'm sure they've burnt their fingers more than enough times to know not to do that. That might be very well what they're doing, is that they're driving down prices by finding savings elsewhere in the business, which is great.
Jan Vermeulen, editor at largeamountbroadband.co.za. You were talking, Jan, about your top story. Well, it was before your South African mobile network battle shows a clear winner. We'll get into that one. But the MTI bigwigs, as that headline reads on my broadband, hit with a 2.5 million rand claim of a previous crypto scam. Frederick in the Strand says that he's investigating this as well. Hi, Frederick.
Hi, Kino. Good morning, and good morning to Mr. Vermeulen. Well, a couple of years ago, I was approached by a private investor who said, this is too good to be true. So I said to him, okay, look, let me investigate this guy and take it from there.
Yeah.
So I started with an image of the person that was taken in Miami. And
yes.
Then
Stephen
there
Twain.
Were these, there were, yeah, this Mr. Steve Twain does actually exist. He is an American scammer. So I tracked two numbers down by online number search. I then took it further. The reference came up to a website, an American website, which is the crypto site. From there, I ended up on Facebook, and there I hit the jackpot. I hit this a Russian scammer based in somewhere around about Czechoslovakia, And a little bit more researching to that at the time turned out to be that he's on the wanted list of crypto scammers.
Oh. Jan, did you know about this?
No. If he's got any information that can peg an identity to Stephen Twain, I know there's been a lot of speculation, very much in the same vein. I hesitate to say anything like that on air because, you know, defamation.
yes.
But Frederick, if you've come up with proof, please send that to me, jan@mybroadband.co.za. I will forward that to the relevant people that are also investigating this. Perhaps put them in touch with you if you want that. Because I've seen a lot of investigations by the amateur and not so amateur sleuths on my broadband in this vein. But finding conclusive evidence regarding the identity of Stephen Twain has been challenging. So anything you've found would be really helpful.
Yeah, no problem. I'll do that. I'll just look up the old records I still have and I'll pass it on to you.
Appreciate that. Thank you so much.
That's why Jan likes listening to us all the way from Pretoria, because some of the best investigators in the country, like yourself there, Frederick, listens as well. So, Frederick and Strand, thank you for your time. And then I tell you what, we'll wrap after our 11:30 eyewitness news, if you have time, Jan. There are some very interesting stuff. I mean, there is the South African mobile network battle showing a clear winner and a clear loser. So we'll get into that one. And then, of course, it looks like Andre de Ruyter getting into trouble for appointing white people, only in South Africa. But anyway, we'll talk about that as well. And then we were going to chat to Magda Verziska today, but we did chat to Anton Harbour. But former intelligence minister illegally spied on Signia's founder, Verziska. According to a report, Anton Harbour was one of them and Tito Mboweni the other. But Jan Vermeulen, editor-at-large at mybroadband.co.za. Yach. Listen to me now. Let's get back to business, shall we? Where was I?
shall we talk about, before you drag me into politics, shall we talk about the winners and losers from our last network quality
where you got to drive around the country.
Exactly. This is what we do when I drive around South Africa and test the mobile networks and when I'm in Cape Town and going through Durban.
Yeah.
And so what we found is overall, I must stress this because it's always going to be different from area to area. But overall, MTN has the best network in the country and significantly. But this is specifically the data network. I should make that also clear.
Yeah.
If you look at just its download speeds, right? MTN's average download speed across the main three metros across the country is 64 megabits per second.
Gee.
Vodacom, which is in second place, is 32,
Gee.
Let's call it 33 megabits per second. 30 megabits per second slower on average. So Vodacom, Telkom, and Cell C kind of cluster together in the middle. Though there is a substantial difference between Vodacom and Cell C still. So you can actually call it Vodacom and Telkom kind of making up the middle. Then Cell C lower down, and then Rain, bottom of the pack. Let's call it 11 megabits per second average download speed. Now we don't just go on download speed, right? So we have like an average measure that we call the network quality score.
Right.
So MTN, so 10 is the perfect score. MTN scored 9.73. Vodacom in second place scored a 5.65. Telkom a 5.17, Cell C a 4.36, and then Rain a 3.4. That hopefully gives people an idea of the spread here, just how far ahead MTN is of the pack and how far behind Rain is of the leader. Rain still has a lot of work to do to up its network quality. And obviously, this isn't the only measure we use to measure networks around the country. We also do a customer satisfaction rating, I guess, if you want to call it that. So after you do a speed test, you can give your ISP a star rating out of 5. And so we factor that in as well, not in this particular set of results, but in a final set of results. We'll look at that customer satisfaction to find out who the best network in the country is at the end of the day.
Excellent stuff indeed. Jan Vermeulen, editor at large at mybroadband.co.za. So I'm going to ask you for maybe one or two more stories off My Broadband that you think we should be knowing about. I mean, there is the PlayStation, wanting to do, their favorites on cell phones, which is really, really intriguing because, I mean, I don't play cell phone games unless it's stick cricket, right? Because the controls are just so crappy when you have to sit on your phone and you have to try and play. And I don't even know, Jan, are there consoles that I can use and connect to my phone in order to play more effectively? And if so, which ones are they?
Yeah, so and maybe not necessarily consoles, but I mean, certainly you can plug your phone into an external screen if you want a larger screen, or you can get controllers.
Ah, that's what I'm talking about. Sorry, controllers.
Yeah, so you can actually hook a controller, and I think just about any Bluetooth controller can pair to your phone. But you also get controllers that are specifically designed that come as a cradle for your phone, so you can attach them. And that's actually quite comfortable. But yes, it's going to be interesting to see whether that takes off in South Africa or not, or if people, you know, stick to console gaming and perhaps, using a Nintendo Switch for mobile gaming, or if we'll see a surge in smartphone gaming. When you see a company pushing into smartphone gaming, you can bet your pants it's going after the Chinese market.
Yeah.
It is massive there. It is a huge industry there. And so that's probably the reason behind Sony's decision to support smartphones. And also, you are hedging your bets because the fact is that smartphones are becoming the new personal computer.
Yeah.
And if they get the more powerful and the more cost effective they become, the higher the chances that eventually they'll completely eliminate the market for standalone video game consoles. And then on top of that, you're seeing video game streaming starting to kick off right now. It's still quite in its early days. So, you know, you're sort of at a stage now, like probably where Blockbuster was 10 years ago and sort of looking at video streaming and go, you know, this is not viable because, you know, broadband isn't widely equitably available. It's not cheap enough, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you give that technology another 10 minutes in the slow cooker, another 10 years in the slow cooker, and all of a sudden, Blockbuster is no more, and video streaming has become the global standard, basically, for video entertainment. It's even taking over here in South Africa, where we still have inequitable access to broadband, right? And so, you know, with even the likes of DStv struggling. And so, very interesting move from Sony's part. And, it also ties into a larger story here, which is the global shortage on microchips. I don't know if you've heard about that.
Yeah, we spoke about that yesterday, as a matter of fact. But no, we can certainly give we had a guest talking about that yesterday. But I'd like you to venture your thoughts on that.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, just to mention it, because, you can't talk about Sony PlayStation and not talk about the current shortages that are making it incredibly difficult to get your hands on a PlayStation 5. And part of that is a global shortage in silicon, in chips. Not silicon itself, but chips. And there's a couple of reasons for that. The first was the pandemic, and so a lot of companies backed off on their orders. And you have to do a lot of forecasting when it comes to this kind of thing. You know, Apple has always been spot on with its forecasting to make sure that, you know, it doesn't have supply shortages in Apple iPhones and so on. But now all that forecasting is out of whack because with the COVID pandemic, companies went, okay, you know, there's going to be people are going to save their money. Consumer spending is going to go down. We don't want to sit with a whole bunch of stuff that we can't sell.
Yeah.
So we're not going to place orders. And then they realized, oh, hang on. No, demand didn't go down nearly as much as we thought it would. Put orders in. And so now the chip manufacturers have to catch up. And then Taiwan gets hit with a drought. And the foundries need water to function. So the world is waiting desperately for Taiwan's rainy season to arrive. so that the drought can be alleviated, so that the foundries can get access to water. And in the meantime, you're looking at shortages, not just in toys, you know, graphics cards and video game consoles and that sort of thing. Mm. Car manufacturers, General Motors, Nissan, are reporting critical shortages that are making it difficult for them to deliver on their forecasts. You know, it's not just that. Medical equipment relies on chips. Everything relies on chips. And so when there's a global shortage in microchip manufacture, we run into major problems. This is not just toys and high technology that use this anymore. Everything requires some kind of computer or controller, some kind of integrated circuit to function nowadays. You know, from your washing machine and your fridge to sometimes, you know, your stove, I mean, maybe even your lawnmower, who knows?
And then you had the little boat that got stuck in the sewers as well, so that didn't help things.
Yeah, who knows what got stuck on the Ever Given.
You know, for the time being, I think, I mean, while I still have a computer game, when I say, I'm booking crap now, while I still play computers on my PC, I'm actually thinking of just going to get a PlayStation 4. You know what?
I think on second hand.
Yeah. What the heck? I think it's still worthwhile.
It can be, and there'll still be games released for it for a while still, like you saw at the switch over of the PlayStation 3 to PlayStation 4 era, but it's going to rapidly become obsolete. So you'll still be able to enjoy it for a while, and there's good apps available on it. You know, you can get your Spotify and your YouTube and all that on there. It's always a difficult thing to whether to, you know. And I was there. Honestly, I was there like a couple of years ago where my PC was getting outdated, and and upgrading it would cost a significant amount of money. And right now, upgrading your graphics card, if you want a 30 series video graphics card, you're going to be paying through your neck because all the prices are inflated. Thanks to the shortage and cryptocurrency mining. So on top of all of the chip shortages I was just talking about, the poor video gamers on PC have the added challenge that there's a cryptocurrency boom currently happening, and so everyone and his dog is buying graphics cards to mine tokens. So you have all these mining farms gobbling up all the good graphics hardware and making it incredibly difficult to get an upgrade. Be that as it may, I had a choice, you know, whether I was going to switch over completely to console or stay on PC. And luckily, there was a windfall and I was able to upgrade my machine. But nowadays, what's actually happened is before the pandemic, I was fortunate enough to need a new laptop for work. I decided, because I'm doing all this driving around, testing all over the country, I wasn't, you know, at home a lot, so that, you know, where I could sit down and just play games. Yeah. Two out of 3 months of the year, I'm not at home anymore. Mm. And so I got myself a gaming laptop.
Which one did you get?
I got a Lenovo Legion Wi-Fi 40. It is phenomenal. It was surprisingly affordable for what you get. Like, it cost me 16,000 Rand for the base model, actually 15,500 Rand, and I've been able to upgrade it. I didn't get the biggest hard drive and the most RAM and all that stuff, that I upgraded myself. And it's turned out to be a fairly cost-effective option as far as PC gaming goes while you're on the road. So, yeah.
Nice one. Jan van Meulen, editor at large of mybroadband.co.za.